Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Cotton, and tonight's show is, or the topic actually is about bullying, so appreciate the callers and called in. This is a very serious topic. Before I go into that, just let me let everybody know about what we have going on. Fortress Love Letter is at 5306 North Damon Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60625, and that's at Let Them Eat Chocolate, a very wonderful place to get great chocolate and some other desserts that she has there. Big ups to Deborah for allowing us to use her spot to do poetry and bring in some joy to some people around. But I want to speak to the topic about bullying because it is not just a today thing. This has been an ongoing thing. I remember myself being younger. I was bullied at one point in life, and I was bullied in a different kind of way. So this is a very serious topic because now kids are killing each other, they're killing themselves, committing suicide, and we as a whole need to go back to how to raising our children as a village. I think we've gotten away from that, like, big time. There's no mom down the street, big mama down the way saying, hey, you know, you need to get home. Where are you going? That kind of stuff. Nobody's really, really looking out for each other the way they used to, or the children the way that we used that the way that they used to. I'll quickly tell you my bullying story was I was one of those young ladies where I was always being touched sexually by different boys, and that's one of those to me is another form of bullying. And it seemed that telling somebody about the problem never ever worked because no parent or adult ever wanted to listen to the child. So here we are, this day and age, and kids are killing themselves, they're walking into the schools and killing other children, and even some innocent children that may or may not have had anything to do with the situation at hand. Parents are at home and not showing or not knowing what their kids are doing and what's going on and, you know, the whole nine. So it amazes me that we're still, the problem has gotten bigger, and it seems that nobody ever does the preventative thing and says, hey, well, let's nip this in the bud before it gets out of hand. We wait for it to get out of hand, and then we say, oh, we have a problem. Now let's fix it. But now it's so huge that it's going to even take more of us to try to fix this problem. So I see that we do have some callers on the line. And I appreciate you all calling in. I appreciate you all calling in once again. This is Poetry's Love Letter. My partner, I believe, is busy, so he has not called in. I'm not sure, but I know that he has a lot going on. So there's bullying prevention that we have. There's www.reachout.com, and there's also www.digforkids.org. It's bullying, B-U-L-L-Y, dash prevention. What we're showing is that there's 160,000 students missing school each day for fear of being bullied. That's a lot of children to be missing school, and we're not really doing a whole lot about it. I read a story not too long ago. I didn't read. There was a documentary on the news where the young girl, the 7-year-old sister, found the older sister hung with a scarf that she bought her as a present to her sister. But her sister was being bullied so much that she couldn't take it and hung herself. So at some point we have to figure out how we can change this. There's also Bullying National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 800-273-8255. And my partner, although he's not here right now, he does this great poem about bullying, which is awesome. And if he were here, he would tell the story a lot better than I would. He was bullied as a child as well. And so he does this little great piece about being bullied and how. And then there's like a part one and a part two. I'm not even sure if there's a part three, but he does a really, really, really great job. Let me see. We have a couple callers on the line. I want to just see if anybody has any questions or anything that they want to say. If you don't have anything to say, that's fine. You don't have to, don't hang up because, you know, we have plenty of time to, you know, go over a lot of stuff. So 770, did you have a question? Hello? Okay, they don't have a question. So, okay, so on tonight's show, what I wanted to do is talk about the different ways of how we can prevent bullying, what ideas or what things that we can come up with to stop and keep people from being bullied at this particular time in our era. So, I wanted to know if anybody had any suggestions on what we can do, especially from our young people who may have be in the school system. Because I'm not telling you how old I am, but I've been out of school for a while, so I haven't had that problem. Although, as an adult, I've been bullied. You know, my friends have tried to bully me. The one thing that I don't really tolerate is somebody raising their voice at me and trying to force me to do things their way, because that just makes me not want to talk to you at all. So I just shut down. So I don't do the bullying thing at all too well. So it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. So if anybody has any suggestions or anything that they want to say, then please let me know, and I will pull you in so that you can give me your suggestions. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I'm having an inside moment over here.
Hello?
Hey, caller. How are
Hello.
You?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So have you ever been bullied in school? Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm Shanae, calling from Oakland, California.
Hey, Shanae. Have you ever been bullied in school?
No, I was raised in Oakland. We didn't know no bullying. We bullied.
Oh, wow.
I'm just playing. No, I've never been bullied, but I have seen people get bullied, and I want to say that there are things that you can do to stop people being bullied if it's going on in your vicinity and you see it happening.
But do you think it happens more so in school, or and when you've seen it, you haven't seen any like adults try to prevent it at all?
Sometimes it's like fights that go on.
For bullying, does it turn into a fight, or is it just people pushing other people around?
Pushing other people around.
So that, and that's where it becomes a problem, because then adults don't step in, which I think is a huge, huge issue of where we fail as parents and adults protecting our children, because then they grow up to sometimes bully, or they grow up to continue to be bullied, and it's not really a good thing, because then they're angered, and then now they're picking up guns, now they're wanting to kill not just one person but several people. So it's best to figure out how to prevent it now, opposed to waiting till it gets even more out of hand. Because right now, I think it's just pretty out of hand. I've seen a lot of horrible stories about bullying, and I didn't read the story on the Sandy Hook case with all the children, but I did hear bits and pieces of it. I don't know what that young person's problem was, or where he was, or in his life going on, but I'm sure there was some signs of something. There are always signs of something going on with your children, and if you're not in tuned enough, then you will not catch the signs, or if you just overlook it, as though it's a kid being a kid. It's not always that. You really have to tune into your child to find out what's going on with them. If you see change in their behavior, if you see them hanging out with the wrong crowd, and they're dressing differently, you know, there's just different things that you should be able to recognize in your child's behavior. We have another caller. I don't know the area code of the caller, but I'll just check and see if they have something to say.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air. Did you have a question?
No questions, but I did have a statement.
This is one of my favorite people.
I should hope it is.
Mr. DV.
Hey, Cotton.
Hey there, how are you?
I'm good.
What,
I wish I would have known about this topic show earlier this week. I just found out about it maybe like a couple minutes ago.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I forget to tag you and stuff, and I'm really bad at that. I'm sorry. I'm a bad co-host.
It's lucky that I'm a follower of the show. Otherwise, I'd be out.
I appreciate that. No, I know you have something very intellectual to say to this topic.
Well, you know what? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, just like balls out honest. We will never get rid of bullying. But because bullying is kind of a rite of passage that you endure in the hopes that you become a better person afterwards. And there is the problem. Each one of us has dealt with bullying. I don't care if it's because of your sex or your skin color or your hair color, eye color, it didn't matter. At some point, you're going to be bullied in life. But when the way we grew up is we learned to do things differently. What I'm saying is with everybody who bullied us, we learned to either get a smart mouth and talk back. We learned to defend ourselves, you know. And each one of us picked up a different trait along the way, so it's a little better.
Right.
We're not teaching our kids these things. We're teaching our kids that there's always a quick fix to a hard question, and that's what they go around thinking, that there is no other alternative than this quick fix. We don't teach them that, you know, that enduring it makes you a better person. We don't teach them that finding another way to deal with it, like, you know, my son, you know, sometimes, you know, he's a teenager, and sometimes the best way to diffuse a situation where people are laughing at you is sometimes to laugh yourself. And the reason why is because if you're laughing, then it's not as funny. You know, and these are the, you know, but no one teaches these kids these things. It's like, oh, well, you got to be on your guard at all times. You got to fight for what you believe in. And so we've instilled in these kids that, you know, you should never be talked down to. You should always, you know, be the aggressor. And that's what they go around thinking, that if I don't want to get picked on, I got to be the aggressor. So
right.
They're looking for these quick fixes, and there are none, you know. And they're looking to go after the people that bully them, but there are always going to be people that bully, and there are always going to be people that get picked on. It's not until you understand that, look, you know, maybe you need to develop a trait, a defense mechanism, something other than violence, in order to counter the things that are being done to you.
Right. Right, I agree. I agree with that because it's like telling somebody, you know, you don't like your size. They find that thing that they know that pisses you off or that gets under your skin. They'll keep doing it
forever.
You know, forever. Anytime I tell somebody I don't do the spider thing, it's ironically people will find a way to either put a fake spider around or find something with a spider over it, thinking that that's funny. And for me, you know, I laugh it off, but at the same time, the fear is inside of me like, okay, I'm going to kill y'all later.
But as adults, we get bullied, you know, and we get bullied usually by superiors or sometimes by friends. You know, they'll pick that one instance that they know that we're weak about, and they'll laugh about it, and we'll get upset. But
right.
As an adult, we've learned to deal with it. You know, we don't, like, you know, tote around semi-automatic rifles and, like, next time this dude come over, I'm blowing him away. You know, we've
right.
developed mechanisms along the way to help us adapt to these situations, but we're not teaching kids how to adapt. We're teaching them basically either you succeed or you fail. And if you're my kid, you know, you better not have nobody talk about you or you failed in my eyes. And then they carry that badge around, like, I can't fail in my parents' eyes. You know, I can't fail and you know what I'm saying? Everybody wants to be the top dog, but nobody wants to understand what it takes to get there.
Absolutely.
You know, I
want
to be the bully, you know, at all times. I don't want to be the guy to get picked on, but you don't want to develop anything to help you deflect either or to help you absorb, you know, some of the things. I got picked on all the time as a kid. And even
really?
Worse, oh, yeah. Well, this is the thing. My parents, like, I moved from a primarily black neighborhood to a neighborhood that was primarily Jewish. And, you know, I didn't get along with them at all. Now, I didn't,
oh.
It wasn't because they were Jewish, it was basically because they were white.
Right.
And it was something that I wasn't used to, so I became an introvert. And as an introvert, they thinking if you're a black person that isn't always up in their face, then you must be a coward. So I got tested
right.
regularly. You know, and it was at that point that, you know, whenever I had to fight, I did. I never sought out a fight, but I damn sure defended myself because my mother was like, look, you get beat up, I beat you up too. You know, so you,
that's
you know, you kind of
mother's motto.
Right. You know, you kind of learn how to fight. But other than my fist, you know, I learned that words were more powerful than fists. So every time somebody had something to say to me, I had something to say right back.
Right.
Because guess what? I don't care what anybody tells you. Words are the most powerful thing on planet Earth. It's not a gun.
They
it's not
are.
A bomb. Because words start and end everything.
Right.
If you
and
want
then
to
they,
be able to
they
learn,
stick with you the longest.
For the longest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so until you learn how to be comfortable in your own skin, and be happy with who you are and learn how to defend yourself with words, you're
mm-hmm.
always going to be the vulnerable one. That's how
right.
the best comedians were made. You talk to any of the great comedians, you know, the Chris Rocks, the Red Foxes, the, you know, they all got picked on, but they used comedy as a way to get back at people.
Right.
They used, you know,
right.
and they absorbed all that bullying, and then they made fun of the people that bullied them. So there's always a different way to attack it.
Right, and speaking of that, I that's the one thing that I would. And this is almost not really off topic, but the one thing that I tell people about comedians, because a lot of people use it as a defense mechanism as well, but there's truth in that. It's like a drunk person. They can only get the courage to really speak if they're drunk. They can only really tell you how they feel if they're intoxicated, because then they can blame it on alcohol. But when somebody even in joking repeatedly says the same thing over and over to you, just my opinion, they mean that. That's right. How they really feel about you, or if they wouldn't have said it in the first place because they were never thinking it. You can't just come out of nowhere. You were thinking that already, and now you've said it to me. Even though you're joking, you mean what you're saying. You're intending to hurt, but you want me to believe that you're just kidding, you know. So, definitely.
But not only that, we've run out of people with character. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of parents who don't teach their kids to have character. My parents were kind of like, they instilled a sense of humility but also a sense of pride. So they were like, look, not everybody is going to be able to absorb, you know, the same amount of damage that you can. We're all built differently.
Right.
So right. I was basically tasked with defending those that I felt were unjustly bullied. So that's what I did. I got in a few fights because I was protecting somebody who was getting bullied. But you don't have that now. You don't have a lot of kids who have enough character to say, look, this is wrong, and to defend somebody that they don't think should get bullied. I saw a couple times in my life where I saw dudes fighting 6-on-1. Those aren't good odds. So I would jump in to defend the one. And, yeah, I caught my wallops. But people respect you whenever you go out of the way to do the things that nobody else would do.
Right.
You know, and so that's how I earn my badges.
Let me see. I think we got Mr. Red Snapper. Let's see if this is our other. See what he got to say about. Hey, Mr. Red Snapper.
How y'all doing this?
What's up, Red?
How you doing?
I am fine, and the subject is one that I can definitely go back on in my days growing up. The bullying thing, I'm going to say, it seemed like every fight that I got in was because my brother, I was a year older, but I was smaller than him. And every time, it seems like we always seem to get into fights because of some shit that we did. I was doing. So, you know, and then there was my own little stuff where people were bullying me. I mean, I can remember a time in junior high school that I was walking in the halls. You know how they used to put those kick me signs on your back and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, used to do stuff like that. It just used to be a script, you know, how people would bother you. And see, I grew up in an era when it was dark skin, light skin. And if you was light skin, you know, they thought you were better. And, you know, dark skin was jealous and all that. So, you know, it was a time where we had that, when Spike Lee kind of hit Jigaboos and the Wannabes. It was that kind of thing that was going on that I had to deal with. So, yeah, I got picked on a lot because I was light skin and had a good pro or whatever. Or my brother. If it wasn't my brother getting me in trouble, it was that kind of thing. So.
Wow. So you just had it bad all the way around, huh?
Yeah,
and that thing is still trying to go on nowadays. You know, people just doing it differently now, but they still got that little inside prejudice within the race. You know, it's there.
Yeah, it's still there, and a lot of it, and you know, people say that it's because of how we were treated in slavery days, but at some point you got to say, yeah, that's not what I want to do. I'm not going to treat my own people this way, no matter what their color is.
A lot of it was in the craft mentality did come from that, but you're right. We're still living on that that letter. I forget who the guy was that they used that, you know, they always use this letter. I can't
Willie Lynch.
The Willie Lynch letter, and they still use that today where it's, he said, all you got to do is turn us against each other, and we will do it. And it's evident that they don't have to worry about us. They don't have to worry about us because we do it to ourselves all the time.
All the time. We bully each
other. And I know that's
not really
in the subject. I know that's taking it away from the subject. But bullying, you know, most of the time when people bully somebody, either there's something going on or they just feel like they have to do that because the bully itself, because they feel like they need to prove something or they don't get something at home, or somebody's dogging them, so they got to retaliate somewhere else, so they go to school and do it, or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or their self-esteem is low.
Like, remember, like, when I was growing up, you know, dark-skinned black girls were the target. You know what I'm saying? If you were dark-skinned, then you were just, you know, God's curse. You know, and they would call them things like African booty scratcher, and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and they're
yeah,
really
tar baby.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they said all of that, yeah, right.
But, and so I I felt, you know, that's the beginning of when I felt truly bad. You know, and I would run to the defense, and I hated girls at that age. I was like, man, I can't stand girls. But I would run to the defense because it was wrong. And you know, being around a bunch of black people, they knew me. You know, when you play sports and, you know, you kick everybody's tail in, you know, they respect the words that you have to say. So, I mean, it wasn't a lot of that going around, but, you know, I always ran to defense. But that's primarily because my parents were like, look, not everybody is going to be able to defend themselves. And sometimes it takes good people to run to their defense to let other people know they're wrong. You know, and my father always said this. He's like, you may get your tail kicked. You know, but if it's, you know, I know how your mother is, and she'd probably beat you up. But if it's for a good cause, you know, if you take your lumps and it's because you were defending somebody else, well, then you have my respect.
Right.
You know, and that meant a lot to me. And you don't hear that a lot nowadays. Everybody's like, well, if you're not the champion, if you're not on top, then you ain't my child, or you less than human. Kids need to hear sometimes that, you know, you love them and respect them for who they are rather than what people are telling me. You got red hair and they calling you ginger, so what? Embrace it. Don't take it as a, you know, don't be embarrassed by it. Okay, you got a little fluffy on you, you know, and they call you chubby. Say, I know, and food is delicious. You know, you have to learn how to absorb these things and give them back, because when people learn they can't make fun of you, they don't make fun of you.
It's hard when you do that, but you're right. That's the way to get them off of you, is to let them know that it doesn't bother you. Then they'll find something else and look for something else, because they figure, well, this don't get them, so I got to find something else. But if you know, if you let them see that it does bother you, then they're gonna jump on that and they're gonna stick to it. Yeah,
and they'll keep doing it to you until you stand up for yourself.
That even works in being a celebrity. A lot of celebrities don't seem to get that. That even works even in the literary game we're doing. In writing, you know, we let people dog us and we take everything they say about our works to heart, then we will never get nowhere. Just like I found out today, you know, remember the author we had on the show the other day?
Who?
She came on for a few minutes and she jumped off.
The Dick Lady?
Yeah, the one who wrote The Dickmatized.
Right.
I found out today that she got offended. I don't know what the fuck we did. We didn't say shit to her. I didn't dog her like I wanted to.
I didn't really get to say anything about her.
I guess she thought we dogged her or something. She told somebody, and they came back and told me. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I don't know
why
what to
do. Why do people do that? But why do people do that? Why don't they address you instead of going to tell, oh, man.
I don't know. I'm just tired of this shit. And I don't know. But let me say this real quick. I got a show. I decided to do another show on the 2nd of January. Now, that's a Wednesday, so that's your night, isn't it, Cotton?
No, it's not. Mine is Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. You don't do it. Okay, so we're going to do a show on Wednesday. I just wanted to say that real quick for those who might be listening. I know we're going to do a special word, sexy, and we got Arthur, what's her name? Lynx or somebody. I can't think of her name right now. She's coming on. But I got to feel
you might
want to
know this.
So anybody who wants to come on Word Sexy Radio, let me know. We can get them on the show, and they got to know what they're doing. It can't be no bullshit. You know, we want you to come on the show, but I'm doing my roster. I'm going to set it up. And DV, if you know some people that you want to interview, you know, you can get them as well. And I don't have to always set it up. Let me know so I know who's coming on the show.
All right, no problem, man. But, getting back on topic.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get off. I just wanted to mention, because I know that I always try to support. I'm sorry for jumping in and talking about everything but bullying. But, you know, I got my ass whooped at school, and I whooped some ass, and, yeah, it happens. Okay.
but you got picked on because you were light-skinned.
Absolutely. And I was a nerd in school. I was what they call a damn bookworm back then.
But
they used to whoop my ass if I didn't do no homework and shit for them.
As callous as it seems, bullying prepares you for the real world, you know, because everybody is not going to be your friend and everybody is not going to have your back. And it teaches you about real life. You know, right. And I'm not saying that everybody deserves to be bullied because it teaches about life, but the thing is you can't run away from things that are really going to happen. There
okay.
are going to be jerks in this world. They're going to be buttholes.
Right.
But you're not.
I'm ready to drop off.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm going to drop off. Okay.
All right. But you're not, you know, you're going to have to learn how to deal with these people on a level better than what they're dealing with you on.
Right,
you know,
right.
And like I said, sometimes these people are your bosses. Sometimes, you know, these people have clout over you. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to use violence. But if you have a method to be able to basically put them in their place, that is so rewarding. You know, and you won't ever know how rewarding it is to put somebody in their place with words until you've done it.
Right, and that's the thing I think we are not teaching our kids is how to handle situations such as that. You know, I know for me, I asked my son, of course, you know, anybody been bullying you? Because my children were never bullied. So, but my youngest son, who's 14, I asked him, I said, you know, have you ever been bullied? Because he's really quiet, low key kid. Nobody bothers him, but I checked his behavior, and that was one of the things I always want to make sure is when I see something change, because it'll show in his face if something ain't right, he'll get angry, but he's not sure what to do with that. Like he's not sure what to do with
himself.
The anger,
right?
Right, and so I tell him, look, let me tell you something. I'm your mother. If somebody messes with you, you better let me
they
know.
Mess with us.
Right. You ain't by yourself in this one. So it's one of those things where I'm teaching him, I've taught him that if somebody, you know, somebody says something to you, don't even let it, you know, just keep on walking or tell them to get out your face and keep on going. Now, if they put their hands on you, we talking something different. I told
right.
you, but I've always taught him how to handle things in a manner to where, because he's a nonviolent person, but if you piss him off enough, he'll take it there with you, but he has been fortunate not to have to be in that type of situation. So I've been teaching him how to handle people because there's so many different types of people that he's going to have to deal with in life, and he's going to have to understand how to deal with them individually as they come at him. The butthead, the hood person, the corporate person, the boss, the whomever, you know. So it's not easy trying to teach our children how to deal with these different personalities, because I know that I had to deal with so many different personalities growing up. So you got to learn to adjust.
But
I wasn't bullied, so.
Nothing worth doing is ever going to be easy, you know, and that's the fact of life. Everyone wants an easy way to a hard solution. You're not going to find an easy way to it, you know, but what you will find is other ways to adapt to it. And I guess that's the word
right.
I've been trying to think about all night. You know, sometimes in the midst of talking, you know, the things that you want to say aren't the things that really come out. But
right.
we have a lot of kids who don't know how to adapt to any given situation. So
mm-hmm.
they think the best way out of the situation is to create a violent one. And that's
right.
not the best way. But we haven't, unless, I'm sorry, go ahead, Cotton.
No, I was going to say, since you said that, I this was another point. My son asked me, because he saw me upset. This was, you know, really crazy for me, because he's thinking. He saw me upset, and he realized that somebody made me upset. And he wanted to know, what should he do about it? Should he not like that person? He's asking me, should I not like that person, Mom? And I mean, because I want to fuss at them because they've upset you. So what do I do? And I told him, he said, because now you're not mad at them anymore. And he wants, this was a really strange question for a child to ask their parent, because he's observant, he's watching. So I have to be careful. But I explained to him that, you know, you can get upset with somebody to a point where you see me yelling or whatever, but I don't hate that person. I'm just
right.
upset with that person at the moment. I said, so it's not for you to unless they put their hands on me, it's not for you to say anything to them or be upset with them, because I'll resolve the issue as an adult. I will get it rectified. Now, either A, I won't deal with that person anymore, or B, we'll apologize and we'll move forward. So those are the two options. So, I'm teaching him how to deal with, like, certain situations, and for him to ask what he should do is even more telling me that he's growing and he wants to understand these different emotions and these different things that, as an adult, I have to deal with. So,
I said,
whoa.
Because they're growing. We forget that they're growing up a lot faster than we did. They're being exposed to a lot more of the world a lot faster. We didn't know what was going on in Australia and Norway, and now you're a click of the button from finding out what they're learning in another country. So,
right.
I mean, they're being exposed to a lot more a lot faster, but, you know, we're kind of still thinking that, okay, you know, we want to teach things at the rate we want to teach them at, and that's not the way it's going to go. You know, you have to teach them before they learn it. Now, and it is a hard, you know, and that's speaking from, you know, I got a teenage son, and there's certainly things I don't want to have to teach him. But I have to, you know, as a parent, I have come to the realization that, look, you know, I'd rather teach him than have him find out the hard way. And when kids find out the hard way, it's usually after they've made the mistake.
Something horrible could happen, you know, during that mistake that they're making that could be detrimental to the rest of their lives.
Right. And I tell him all the time, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. It is the rite of passage. But make the mistakes that you can walk away from, not the ones you carry with you for the rest of your life.
Right, very true. That's very true.
So, I mean, that's all that I really advocate for him. You know, you're going to make mistakes, and because you make mistakes, you're going to get your butt handed to you by me, your parents. But understand this, you know, I don't, you know, I do it because if I didn't do it, somebody would be happy to teach you those lessons the hard way.
Very much so.
And that means that as a parent, I have failed because I allowed somebody to teach you something that I should have taught you.
You should have taught. And I was saying that, I think before you came on, that we don't, it's not the village raising the children anymore. We kind of slide. So we see kids doing something, most of them don't even say anything. We just let them do whatever they feel like doing, you know. I think I was on the one of the trains down here, and some kids got on, and they were just cussing, and ideally, nobody says anything, except one person, it was a friend of mine, turned and said to the kids, watch your mouth, there's adults on this train. I said, and those are the kind of things that we used to do. You better watch, and then teaching our kids, I mean, most, when I grew up, you wouldn't dare say a cuss word in front of an adult,
an adult,
even if you didn't know the adult, right? So it's times have definitely changed, you know. And I've always told my kids, just because I'm not there, don't mean somebody's not watching, and you are a direct reflection of who I am as a woman. So if I find out you've been acting up and I ain't there, we'll have some problems.
Yeah, I tell my son, look. Yeah, that's all to it, you know. But, you know, I'm not doing it because out of spite. I'm doing it because you know better. You know, I'm not raising a hoodlum. I'm raising a man, you know. And if you want me to treat you like a man, then you better act like one. Because I can treat you like a knucklehead, and it won't be fun. Because knuckleheads wash walls with toothbrushes, you know. So, I mean, you know,
or cleaning the baseboard like they do in the military. You're going to be cleaning the bathroom floor with the toothbrush.
No, man, like I have, my parents gave us some special punishments. So, like, all it takes is one. He like, all right, I'm good. I don't want to do this. You know, so, I mean, I don't really want to give them away because, you know, they dad's special choice punishment. But,
right.
You know, I don't have to lay a finger on him for him to be like, okay, well, yeah, I'm good. All right, I'd never do this ever again.
Right, and that's how you know you're good parenting. That's how you know you're doing good parenting, because I remember taking my daughters and my children to their dad's house or their granddad's house in Oakland, and at the time I was in Las Vegas, and that's like a 9-hour drive from there to here. So my daughter was acting up, and granddad called and said, you know, she's doing, I got her on the phone, and I said, let me tell you something. You don't get your little butt in that corner, blah, 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 blah. I'll be back down there to get you. When I get you, it's on. She must have stood in that corner, and she didn't move. But then you have other adults in the house, like her dad was there. He couldn't control her. But from 600 miles away, I had more control over my daughter because she knew that I wasn't playing. She knew that I would keep my word when it came to that. And she behaved herself.
But that's the thing. Once you instill, one, that sense of dread, and, you know, also, but a sense of understanding, you know, like all of our parents when we was growing up, our parents didn't have to kill us. All they had to do was give us the look, and we knew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes that look knew meant you know you're in trouble, and sometimes that look meant do it again.
Right.
You know, but the thing is we understood.
Right. That is so true. It's like you sit there and you say, my mom could say, I still have that fear of my mom today. So it's like, if I see her or she says something and I know it's about to, you know what, I'm leaving because I don't want to get yelled at.
Like I said, my parents were big on respect, you know. I still call, you know, my mother mommy, you know, hey, mommy.
Yeah,
me
too. Me too.
But the thing is, you know, if I call my mother other than mommy, I was getting knocked upside the head. My little brother's 10 years younger than me. He'd be like, yo, ma. And I duck out of reflex, all right? I just duck like, oh, you know. And she doesn't hit him, but then again, he's 10 years younger. You know how it is when you got the one that's, oops, guess what? Okay, now we too tired to really raise you like we raised
other
two.
Yeah, I'm tired
so.
Now.
Yeah, so now you get all the, you know, you get all the leeway. But there is not a lot of respect between parent and adult. Don't get me wrong. Love my child to death, but I am not his friend. I am his father.
Right.
You know, and as hard as people say, well, you know, you have to. No, I don't, because his friend, if he goes to jail, his friends ain't gonna bail him out. His daddy.
Right.
You know,
right.
if he gets hurt and has to be in a hospital, or he has, you know, if something goes wrong, his friends ain't gonna bail him out. His dad is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there is a fundamental line where he has to understand that, look, I knock you, you know, I can laugh with you, and we can joke, but, you know, it's just like calling your parent by their first name. You don't do it. You know, I don't know anybody that I grew up with that calls their parents by their first name, or even adult by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, family members, I had cousins that were 10 years older than me. I still had to call them an uncle. You know, so
right.
They're still my cousins, but it was a level of respect. And so there's what I see is a giant lack of respect, you know, people, other people and other things. You know, so when you don't have respect for much, you don't care about a whole lot. So it's a lot easier for you to go and take out a bunch of people and end your own life because you don't respect anything or anyone.
For anyone. And it starts at home. You didn't respect your parents, so why do I need to? And that's the mentality of a lot of kids. My parent, I don't respect my parents because they're not watching out for me. I'm telling them that I'm being bullied at school, or I'm being bullied by somebody, or people are picking on me, and they're not here to protect me. And here I've got to figure out how to make it on my own. So I don't have any respect for my parent because my parent is not there doing their job like they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, a bullied kid should never try to figure it out now, ever.
Right. No,
they
really should not. They have no idea. It's been so many, and that's the most horrible thing, because I was, like I said, I was bullied in a different kind of way. I had boys always touching my behind all the time. And at one point, I was jumped by a whole bunch of them at one time. And nobody did anything. I mean, I even told my stepdad at one point, because it happened so often, I even told my stepdad, he went down to the school, but he didn't do anything. Like, my stepdad didn't do anything to tell the little boy, hey, don't touch her butt no more. And that was it. There was no talking to the parent. There was no snatching the boy by his collar. You know, there was none of that going. There was no talking to the principal. There was no parent-teacher conference and stuff going on. And like I said, it happened a lot. So it wasn't like every now and then. It was more often than I wanted to. So I always tried to keep covered to keep from being touched by boys on my behind. But that was another form of me being bullied. But nowadays, but people thought that was cute and they thought it was funny. So nobody did anything about it. Oh, that's just a boy. He's just being a boy.
Yeah, just being a boy.
Yeah. No, it's a whole bunch of boys just being a boy. You know, so it wasn't like it was one boy. It was numerous of boys at different times, sometimes all at once, like I said. But nobody does anything about it. We just say, oh, it's just kids being kids. And that's not really a good way to look at it, especially this day and age with kids sticking up guns and walking in schools and shooting people. You know, that's just crazy.
What amazes me is how many people I remember growing up and, like, You couldn't find a gun, or if you could, you know, it was locked up tighter than, you know, Fort Knox, you know, and
right.
that was even in the hood where I grew up in. If they had a gun, you never saw it. You know, you knew it was there, you just never saw it. Nowadays,
right.
You know, people are just careless and callous with their weapons, and then when people say, hey, you know, we need gun laws, they're like, whoa, you know, you're just talking about the people that aren't responsible. Well, there's a lot of people who aren't responsible. I'm not saying that, hey, it's a good idea to take away everybody's guns, but what I am saying is, you know, everybody wants to point the finger at somebody else who they feel is less responsible. It's
right.
Everybody's responsibility to make sure that, you know, guns, especially, you know, guns should not get in the hands of kids.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing when we were kids was somebody would call up, you know, somebody come to school with a bomb threat. Hey, there's a bomb in your school. Okay, everybody, go home. Until, you know what
right.
I'm saying? And not saying that
right.
that was much better, but what I'm saying is they would just call from their house phone and be like, we don't want to go to school. It's a bomb in your school.
Right.
You know, and
very
they
true.
Take, right, and they take you seriously. Nowadays, if they tell you there's a bomb in the school, there's really a bomb in the school.
Yeah, now the SWAT team coming down on you. It's,
you know,
it's going to be a whole big ordeal.
And that's, you know, that's what we've become. We've become a nation where everybody wants their rights, but nobody, we raising kids that don't even respect life.
Right,
you know, life is
exactly.
just, you know, some commodity, you know, that is, you know, hey, you're able to live at somebody else's discretion.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And let me put out this prevention hotline again. A couple of bully prevention hotlines we have is www.reachout.com and www.dig4kids.org/bully-prevention. Those are, and then there's so many different ways of bullying. They have bullying in schools, bullying videos, bullying websites, cyberbullying. So there's actually bullying on the job that people don't talk a whole lot about either. It's almost like with bullying on the job, it's almost like a man saying he's been abused. People don't really like, yeah, that's your boss. That's just
yeah,
your boss
whatever.
Being your boss, right?
You know, you
that's
can't
just your
be
boss
abused
being your
man.
Boss. Right, exactly. That doesn't happen. You're not being bullied. Go
you're
sit down and have a beer.
Yeah. You know, if you're getting bullied don't. By your boss and she's a woman, you know,
right.
then you're not a man.
And
how
you're
dare
a wuss.
You? And you know, but they don't, but that's bullying too. But until, like I said, there's a lot of people who have not learned how to adapt to certain situations.
Right.
And no one has taught them how, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I believe that kids should never learn how to adapt to a situation that they don't know about without having somebody there to at least guide them, help them understand something.
Right, I agree.
Because you'll fail. It's just like, hey, here's the keys to my car. Learn how to drive on your own. Oh, and don't mess up my car.
Right.
you know, right. You mess with my karma, I'm going to kill you. I mean, that's basically what we've done. We've basically told kids, hey, I need you to drive to the store, but I know I didn't teach you how to drive, and I know you've never driven before, but, hey, you know, you'll find out along the way.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
you'll figure it out. Figure it out on your own.
Right, like when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, see, these are the things that we're not teaching our children is how to, you know, come up with solutions to just what we were talking about. It's just, I think at some point we have to, they should have a whole, every year in school now, there should be an assembly on bullying and how to deal with it and, you know, and really listen to a child when they say, I'm being bullied or somebody's picking on me.
But not only that, we're not teaching our kids critical thinking because given a bad situation, they don't know what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, when we were growing up, we had drills for everything. You know, if somebody you don't know is coming after you, what do? You know,
mm-hmm.
Yell, scream, this is not my daddy, help,
right.
You know, don't, you know what I'm saying? You yell. Nowadays,
I remember
it's like,
that.
Right. You know, when there were just in case scenarios for everything. You know, I grew up in Ohio, and we had tornado drills. Lord knows the tornado drills was just a front, because if a tornado ripped through the building, putting your head down in the hallway ain't gonna help.
It's not gonna help you at all.
but it gave the impression and the illusion that you had some sort of control, and that's
yeah.
all that really mattered. You know,
mm-hmm.
what do we do when, you know, what do we do when people we get clowned on? We told your mama jokes. You know,
yes.
And that worked for a long time because even the weakest dude could come up with a your mama joke.
Right.
That was funny. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we developed mechanisms to help us cope with bad situations. Nowadays,
mm-hmm.
there are no such situations. We basically tell them, if you can't deal with it, you don't deserve to live. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, then if I don't deserve to live, nobody does.
Right, exactly. So then the schools and innocent children end up dead or innocent people end up dead because nobody told them how to handle this situation or nobody came to their rescue for that matter.
Right.
You've had kids relocate to other schools, drop out of school. The statistics I looked up online says that there are 160,000 students missing out of school each day for fear of being bullied.
But I mean, it's like this is the mob. It's like the kids in school are the mob. You know, you don't give us our money, we're gonna break your legs. And you know,
right.
they're going to witness protection.
Right.
That's
how they deal with it because they feel like nobody's protecting them. We're not really protecting our children the way that we should be. You know, I'm going to protect mine, but I'm just saying, even if it's not my kid, you know, we need to start looking out. Something is going on. You see something happen. If I see some kids fighting, I'm stopping my car. I mean, I'm taking a risk that one of them might have a gun or something might happen to me, but I'd rather break up the fight than to see them fight. What are you fighting for? Like, you know, you're 12. Why are you fighting? You don't even have
yeah.
nothing to fight about.
But see, like,
you know.
I'm very big on respect, you know. Like I said, it's something that my parents were very big on, so I am very big on. Like, you know, my son's friends used to call the house. And when I say used to call the house, they used to call the house all the time. And he would pick up. So then, you know, I'd be home and I started picking up. And they would just be like, hello, can I speak to, you know, your son? I'm like, whoa,
uh-huh.
That's not how you call my house. You don't call my house at, you know, telling me who you want to talk to. You
right.
acknowledge the person who answered the phone, and then you say, you know, how's it going? May I speak to? So I hung up on a lot of them. I was like, that's not how you
right.
call my house. Try again. Click. That's not how you call my So for a while, they stopped calling. You know, my house was quiet. And then all
but
of a sudden, when they picked back up, when they started deciding they wanted to call, they were like, hello. You know, Mr. So-and-so, may I speak to? That's how you call my house. I don't know how
right.
your parents, you know, I don't tell them. I don't be like, I don't know how your parents raised you. But I truly don't understand how your parent would allow you to get away with this.
Right.
I
no
don't.
Respect. No respect. no respect at all. When you realize that your children don't have no respect for you, better believe they don't have the respect for nobody else
for nobody
outside
else.
That home. And they will do whatever they have to. And then if they feel like you're not protecting them and something is going on with them, they will never come to you for anything. They will never come to you, and they will try to figure a way out of this situation on their own, which is what a lot of kids do, by killing themselves or killing other people.
Or, you know, or they trust their friends who don't know the answer because they, you know, they dumb as bricks too. I mean, they never been through the situation. So it's hard to give counsel to somebody when you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
You know, and
right.
Those kids trying to, you know what you should do? You ain't never been in that situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know,
and I think for the most part, we want to tell our kids to fight, but they can't fight everybody. It's a way to handle it, because if that kid is the kind of person who is allowing himself or herself to be picked on, then he or she has to be taught how to deal with that so that they're not picked on, because there's something in you and that child that's making other kids do that to it. And that's because they found, like we said earlier, they found that thing that you don't like about you or that thing that irritates you that they keep bringing up because they think it's funny. And you don't. Like you said, if you bring it out before they do, then they can't make fun of it.
Right.
Because now it's I already said that. You're really not funny. You know,
yeah,
I've already
weak.
Brought
it. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
wah,
right.
Wah, wah.
right. Bringing that up.
You know what? I taught my son to the real jerk thing sometimes, where somebody's trying to, you know, talk about you and you start laughing real loud so they don't get to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get frustrated because they ain't get to tell their joke and you're already laughing at it. I said, you do that a couple times. And they'll shut up.
Some people off. That do make people mad when they're trying to tell a joke about you and they can't get it out because you didn't interrupt it. What they were trying to... It's not even funny anymore.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not going to give you the opportunity to bully me. That's not going to happen here today. You know.
But the best thing is when your kid comes home and tells you that you said, you know, worked. Because, look, you're not going through anything any different than what we went through.
Right.
It may be a little more intense because now you can put it online and everybody knows.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But it's not. It's not the end of the world, because you know what? You can always pick, you know, you can always pick yourself up and find a new approach.
Right.
Always.
Right, right, exactly. Always. We got less than 3 minutes left in our show.
Really?
The DV. Yeah, you know. Always.
Lady, I've been waiting for that
you.
Information. For the book. I've
what,
been, like
what,
I got.
I forwarded it.
I didn't get anything.
I forwarded to you on Facebook, and I forwarded to Red. Red said he got it.
Y'all keep saying y'all forwarding the stuff to me, like digmatized and stuff, and I didn't get none of that. So I'm
okay.
Just give
I'm
you
a
my email
I'm a
right
copy
now.
And paste. Oh,
give my email right now.
Okay, what is it?
All right, dvhent@gmail.com.
Okay.
All right. So that way there's no mistaking.
If you get a bunch of people emailing you, don't be mad at me.
I got to catch it. That's my catch-all email, so it don't
like
matter.
Just email them back and tell them to get your book. That's all.
Like, yeah. I see you haven't bought my novel.
Right.
But we can't talk dirty.
Thanks for sending me your email. I got you.
No problem. Because I was like, man, I know Kylie said she's going to send me this information, so I've been waiting and waiting.
I did it that same night. As soon as we got off the call, I emailed it over. I sure did.
Never even got it.
I'm sorry. I'll email it to you. I gotta stay in more better contact with you so that I can make sure that you're getting all the same information
that
I'm sending over to people. There is no way. Okay, so the show is coming to a close. I want to thank you so much, Mr. D.V. Hint, for coming on the show and giving your viewpoint on all of this as a parent and as somebody who was bullied as well. you can catch Poetry's Love Letter next Sunday. We're not really having a show. There's no guest. I'm having decided. I don't think I'm going to open it up for lines or anything because I don't have a topic to talk about, but I didn't come up with one, and I didn't schedule anybody for the 23rd because it's so close to the holiday or whatever.
Right.
But then after that, we have... Right. So right. But we have more people that will... Coming up, I believe, is Essence Poet. I can't remember the thing. I don't even have it in front of me. But open mic every second Friday of the month. Please come out, 5306 North Damon, Chicago, Illinois, 60625. Thank you, everybody, for listening. All callers who called in, GV, bless you. Thank you. I'm going to email you this information right now.
All right. Right back at you, pretty lady. Have a good one.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.